السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
In the time of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam, it was mentioned by someone in his speech at the Jalsa, i.e. the annual convention, that the only difference between the mission of the promised Messiah alayhi salam and the other Muslims is that they believe Jesus, son of Mary, to have ascended to the heavens alive, while we believe that he has passed away. Other than that, there is no other matter that is debatable between us. However, this did not clarify many issues, and nor the objective of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam's advent. Therefore, despite his ill health, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam took notice of this and said that this is not the only difference. And on the 27th of December 1905, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam delivered a speech in order to fully elucidate this matter. In this speech, he said that the purpose of his advent was not to simply differentiate this particular issue. God Almighty did not establish this community for such a small issue. In fact, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned many other factors in his speech. He said that indeed, the subject of Jesus' death is a distinguishing factor. But he further said that the moral state of the Muslims had deteriorated significantly, and he gave a detailed discourse in regards to this. He stated that among the various factors which was causing the decline of the Muslims, and for the reformation of which God Almighty had sent the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, was to refrain from falsehood and uphold the truth. In relation to this, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam advised the Jamaat to raise their standards of truth and make this as a mark of distinction between themselves and others. To simply profess belief and accept the advent of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam was of no use. I shall present the writings of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam before you. And if each and every one of us carries out an honest assessment of themselves, then those who do not meet the standards to which the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam is drawing the Jama'at's attention towards, they will realize it themselves, that they do not possess those standards. God Almighty in the Holy Quran has also mentioned this as an attribute of a true believer, which is, and those who bear not false witness. Also, He has instructed us to refrain from shirk, i.e. associating partners with God, and falsehood, and has coupled shirk and falsehood together. In other words, falsehood is as big a sin as shirk. The word God Almighty has used in the Holy Quran for falsehood is zur, which I have just read, and it means lying, falsehood, false statement, associating partners with God Almighty, to sit in such places or gatherings where falsehood is commonly spoken, also gatherings where songs are played, pointless activities, and where falsehood is spoken, all fall under the definition of zur. Therefore, a true believer are those who do not speak falsehood, they do not attend places where falsehood and pointless activities are taking place in their gatherings, and they do not associate partners with God Almighty, and nor do they visit such places where idolatrous practices are taking place. And also, they do not give any kind of false testimonies. Thus, if each one of us was to refrain from falsehood in this manner, then it would bring about such a change within them which enables one to become a true believer. In any case, I shall now present that portion of the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam's address in which he speaks about falsehood. You must listen to this attentively. Today, there is a large proportion among us who need to carefully ponder over this. In regards to the decline of the Muslims and the reason why they have disintegrated, the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, the cause for the internal strife among the Muslims was their love for the world. This is in continuation from the previous subject of the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam's address, in which he stated that the internal strife among the Muslims was caused by their love for the world. The Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, if attaining the pleasure of God Almighty was their objective, they would have easily understood which creed among all the sects was the right one, and would have followed it and thus become united. Now it is their love for the world which is causing their deterioration. Therefore, how can such people be called Muslims who do not follow in the footsteps of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? God Almighty states, if you love Allah, follow me, then will Allah love you. However, instead of having love for God Almighty and following the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they instead have love for the world. The Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam asked the question, that is this following the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam by leaving the faith and being immersed in worldly pursuits? Was the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam a worldly man? Did he practice usury? Or was he neglectful towards his duties and the commandments of God Almighty? And God forbid, was he guilty of hypocrisy? And did he give precedence to the world over faith? Ponder over this matter. To follow the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam means to follow in his footsteps. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would give precedence to faith over the world, and then see the blessings of God Almighty. Follow the footsteps of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then you will see how much God Almighty will bless you. The companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam adopted this pathway, and look how God Almighty transformed their lives. They became completely distant from worldly matters and separated themselves from the love of the world. They suppressed their desires. Now compare your situation with theirs. Are you following their example? It is a pity that now people do not understand what God Almighty wants from them. The Arabic idiom Hazura used means that evil has spread widely. A person goes to the court and without any shame or mortification takes 2 paltry coins and in return gives a false testimony. Can lawyers say that all the witnesses they present in court cases are truthful? Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II radiyallahu ta'ala anhu relates an incident regarding Hazrat Mirza Sultan Ahmad Sahib, who was a magistrate. He says that once a person came to him who he had acquaintance with, and it was the date when the witnesses had to be presented. However, the person requested for his date to be moved forward because his witnesses were not present. Hazrat Mirza Sultan Ahmad Sahib jokingly said to him, "I thought you were a very intelligent man. However, you are very foolish. Why would you need to bring witnesses when you can go outside and pay anyone a small sum of money and they will become witnesses for you?" And so, the person went outside and after a short while came back with 2 to 3 people as witnesses. When Hazrat Mirza Sultan Ahmad Sahib questioned one of the witnesses, he would confidently reply and say he saw the event unfold in such and such manner. Hazrat Mirza Sultan Ahmad Sahib said that inside he was laughing. In fact, he even laughed in front of him that he had just brought these witnesses after he had told him to do so, and they were openly lying in front of him, and they were even swearing by God and putting their hands on the Quran while lying. However, after they had given their testimonies, he said to them, "Are you not ashamed that you are holding the Quran and giving your testimony while taking an oath on it? And yet you have just found these witnesses in front of me." Such was the state of the witnesses, and even today their state is similar. We often observe this in the cases lodged against the Jamaat, that many people are presented as witnesses in a case in which the defendant has not even committed the crime and is innocent. The Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, "From whichever aspect one looks at the state of the world today, they will find it to be in a very precarious situation. False witnesses are produced, people think nothing of bringing false court cases on, and fake documents are created. Fake documents are produced by paying a government official." They will seek to evade the truth whenever they speak about any matter. They do not speak the truth, and these state of affairs have become even worse than before. Those who argue that there is no need for the mission of the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam should be asked, that was this the faith that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam brought? The Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam presented these moral qualities in order to show the need of his mission. He said, that is it enough to simply say that the Messiah is not in the heavens but has died on the earth and the one who was to come has arrived? No. In fact, the highest moral qualities need to be acquired, and it was for this reason that God Almighty sent the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. God Almighty has called falsehood as something very foul and one should completely avoid it. God Almighty states, "Shun therefore the abomination of idols and shun false speech." Thus, he has likened falsehood to idolatry. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam further states, just as a foolish person leaves God Almighty and bows before a stone, so too is the case of one who shuns the truth and honesty and makes falsehood as an idol for one's own benefit. And that is why God Almighty has likened falsehood to idolatry and drawn an association between the two. Just as an idolatrous person seeks salvation from idols, one who speaks falsehood also makes falsehood an idol and assumes it can seek salvation from it. Such a catastrophe has befallen that if they are asked, why are they idolatrous and why do they not let go of this impurity, they reply, how can we leave it? It is simply not possible to get by without it. How much more unfortunate could they be? They completely rely on falsehood. However, I assure you that ultimately it is the truth alone that prevails. It is the truth that is successful and victorious. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam related an incident of his own. He states, it was 27 to 28 years ago, or perhaps even before that, that this humble one, in the support of Islam, sent an exposition against the Arya to a publishing house in order to be published. The publishing house was owned by a Christian named Ralia Ram. He was a lawyer living in Amritsar and also published his own newspaper. The manuscript was sent in the form of a package which was open from both ends. Many of us have heard this incident and narrate it. However, it is limited to only narration and very few of us act upon it. Hazur says, there was also a letter placed in the package. The letter contained words which spoke in support of Islam and pointed towards the falsities of other faiths, and also contained instructions for the publication of the exposition. Therefore, on account of his opposition to the faith of Islam, the Christian became infuriated and by chance found the opportunity to launch a hostile attack, because to include a separate letter in the package was against the law, which this humble one had no knowledge of. According to the postal regulation, the offence carried a penalty of 500 rupees fine or 6 months imprisonment. He therefore informed the postal authorities and filed a lawsuit against this humble one. However, even before I had learnt of this case, God Almighty revealed to me in a dream that the lawyer, Ralia Ram, had sent a snake in order to attack me. However, I fried it like a fish and sent it back to him. I believe that this points towards the manner in which the case was eventually concluded in court, and that it will stand as an example which can be of benefit for all lawyers. Therefore, for this offence, I was called to the district of Gurdaspur, and whichever lawyers were sought advice for the case, they all said that apart from falsehood, i.e. lying, there was no other option. They also advised that I should say that I did not place the letter in the package, and instead it was Ralia Ram who placed the letter. They further assured me that by saying this, the case will then have to be judged by the witnesses' accounts, and so, by presenting four false witnesses, it will result in me being acquitted. In other words, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam was being advised to present false witnesses. Otherwise, the lawyer said, it will be very difficult and there will be no other way to be acquitted. However, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, I told all of them that come what may, I will not let go of the truth, and whatever the outcome, so let it happen. The same day or the next day, I was presented in the court of an Englishman, and the in charge of the postal office was presented as the plaintiff, as he was the government official. The judge wrote my statement down, and the very first question he asked was whether or not I had placed the letter inside the package, and also that does the letter and packet belong to me. Without any hesitation, I replied, yes, both the letter and the packet are mine, and I posted the packet with the letter placed inside it. However, I did not do this with the ill intention of causing a loss to the government. In other words, Hazur says, he did not do it in order to cause the government any loss and to save money. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says, in fact, I did not consider the letter separate from the exposition, and nor was there anything secretive about it. Upon hearing this, God Almighty caused the judge's heart to incline towards me, and the opposing official from the postal service made great commotion and lengthy submissions to the judge in English, which I could not understand. However, I did understand that after each of his submissions, the judge would say, "No, no," and dismiss them all. After the opposing official had stated all his arguments and vented his frustration, the judge turned towards writing the verdict, and perhaps after writing one or one and a half lines, told me that I was now free to go. After hearing this, I came out of the courtroom and expressed my gratitude to my most benevolent God, who granted me victory despite being up against an English officer. I know very well that due to the blessings of truthfulness, God Almighty granted me deliverance from the tribulation at that time. In fact, before this, I saw in a dream that someone had reached their arm out to take my cap off. I asked what he was trying to do, but he left the cap on my head and said, "It's fine, it's fine." The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, further states, "How can I say that there is no alternative but to speak falsehood?" These are shameful statements, and the fact is that truthfulness is the only way. Even now, when I recall that incident, I derive great pleasure from it because I abided by the command of God Almighty. This is the incident regarding the postal service. God Almighty honored me, and honored me in such a way that it became a sign. And he who puts his trust in Allah, He is sufficient for him. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, "Remember, there is nothing as repulsive as falsehood." Worldly people usually say that those who speak the truth end up being penalized. However, how can I accept this? I was put on trial for 7 court cases, and by the grace of God Almighty, I did not have the need to write even a single word of falsehood in any one of them. Can someone say that I experienced defeat in any one of them? God Almighty supports and aids the truth. Can it be possible that He will punish someone who is truthful? How could that be? If that were the case, then no one in the world would have the courage to speak the truth. And no one will no longer have any belief in God Almighty. The truthful will die immediately. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, further states, "The fact is that those who receive punishment for telling the truth is not because of the truth." Hazur says, if someone spoke the truth in a trial, or if a person was punished, it is not because he or she spoke the truth, and that if the person had lied, they would not have received the punishment. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, "The punishment is given because of some other hidden ills of theirs, and they are being punished for some other lie they had told." Sometimes the punishment is given due to other sins that a person has committed and are hidden. God Almighty has a whole record of all the sins and evil acts of a person. He has knowledge of all their ill deeds, and one can receive a punishment for any one of them. Then the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, "We observe in the world that sometimes someone is receiving a severe punishment for something very trivial." The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, narrates an incident that one of my teachers, Gul Ali Shah, was from Batala. He used to teach Pratap Singh, son of Sher Singh. He narrated that once Sher Singh beat his cook a lot simply because he had added extra salt and pepper into the food. He was a very simple person, this teacher Gul Ali Shah Sahib. He said to Sher Singh that you have done something very unjust by beating him. All he did was put extra salt in the food. Upon that, Sher Singh said, "Molviji, you are not aware that this person ate 100 goats of mine." Similarly, there is an account of immoral actions committed by a person, and at a certain point he is caught and punished. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, It is not possible for a person who adopts truthfulness to be humiliated, because he is under the protection of Allah. There is no secure fort or enclosure better than the protection of Allah the Almighty. However, an incomplete thing cannot prove beneficial. Can someone say that one drop of water will suffice a thirsty person? Or at a time of immense hunger? Can one be satiated by one seed or a bite? Absolutely not. Rather, he will not be satisfied until he does not drink or eat his fill. Similarly, the rewards and results that should be acquired are not achieved until actions are perfected. Imperfect actions can neither please Allah the Almighty, and nor can they be blessed. It is the covenant of Allah the Almighty that if you act in accordance to His wish, Allah will bless you. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says, "In short, the worldly people claim that without lie and forgery there is no other option. Someone says that a person said the truth in a trial, and for this reason he was imprisoned for 4 years. I will say again that this is all wishful thinking, which arises due to a lack of knowledge." The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says that obtain perfection so you become the beloved of the world. That is, it is one's own weaknesses that make him tell a lie. If a person's attention is towards performing good deeds and he tries to improve in this regard, he puts his trust in Allah the Almighty, then these punishments are not received in this manner. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says these are the results of weaknesses. Punishments are received as a result of the defects of one's personal weaknesses. Perfection does not produce such rewards. A person will not become a tailor if he puts a stitch on a cotton sheet. That is, if someone puts a stitch on a sheet of cotton, he cannot be called a tailor, and nor can he be called a skillful tailor. And it is not necessary that he can stitch high quality silk clothes. If he is given such clothes, the result will be that he will ruin them. Hence, a good deed mixed with something foul is useless. It has no value in the sight of God Almighty. However, these people are proud of it and desire salvation through it. Allah the Almighty does not waste an iota of a good deed if there is sincerity in it. Allah the Almighty has stated that one who has done a very small good deed will see its result and receive the reward of it. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says, "For this reason, if he has done a very small good deed, he will receive its rewards from Allah the Almighty. Then what is the reason for not receiving the reward for doing a lot of good deeds? The reason for this is that there is no sincerity in it. Sincerity is the condition for performing good actions. As Allah the Almighty says, مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. This sincerity is amongst those people who are the abdal, i.e. the saints. Allah the Almighty says, purify the religion for the sake of Allah the Almighty. Therefore, all these things mentioned by the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam have been mentioned with immense pain. As I stated, that he mentioned these things in reference to the fact that it is more important that a person safeguards himself completely from shirk, i.e. associating partners with God, and makes his practical condition such that there shouldn't be a sign of shirk in him, as compared to the belief about Prophet Jesus' returning from heaven or not returning from heaven. Establish truthfulness and abhor lies. Now, keeping all these things in mind, every Ahmadi should assess themselves. For example, some things are such, I will narrate a few. For instance, they should assess themselves during trials, whether or not they are using false statements during these trials. Then, in our businesses, do we use false statements to gain profit? Then, while arranging marriages, do we use false statements? Do we use the right word in every way? Do we provide all the information regarding a boy and a girl? Or do we take support of falsehood when receiving social and welfare from the government? In this regard, there exists a very negative impression about many people, and it is said that they hide their income and receive an allowance from the government, and for this reason they do not pay the taxes. This is stealing tax money. We should remember that now the general economic situation of the world is such that every government is facing problems, or if some governments are not facing these problems, then they will eventually. For this reason, governments will try to investigate into this further, and are doing so currently. Therefore, if such a negative matter is brought to the attention of the government, then it will not only create hardship for the person involved, rather, it will also be a source of disgrace for Ahmadiyyat if it comes to light that the person involved was an Ahmadi. Hence, those who are using any false statements in this regard should not consider worldly benefit. They should strive to please Allah the Almighty by surviving on less and safeguarding themselves from falsehood. Then, there are asylum-related affairs. We should assess ourselves whether false statements are being used. Lawyers encourage in doing so, and this has always been the practice of lawyers, as the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned, that he was asked to tell a lie and present false witnesses. Similarly, office holders should also assess themselves if they use false statements in their reports, or do they leave out anything important from it. As I have mentioned once in my past sermon, that sometimes even if a lie is not said, however the right word is not used, i.e. the complete truth is not told, and so that is also wrong. Therefore, righteousness should be used to take care of everything. Hence, it is necessary to go into detail in order to look into things. Everyone should take care of their matters by neglecting their own benefits and egos, whilst keeping the fear of Allah the Almighty at the forefront. And this is the manner in which we should take care of our matters. If all of this is not practiced, then as the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam has said, that this is all a manifestation of love towards the world. And as the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam then said, that these things then lead to causing a strife in the world. It is obvious that the unity of the Jamaat cannot be maintained due to differences, or at least a discord is procured in this society. And the unity for which the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam came to establish comes to an end. All other sects were created for worldly sake. In the same way, another sect will be created. So many evil deeds take root from one evil deed. As the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said, that evil deeds continue to produce more evil deeds. Hence, as Ahmadis, there are many responsibilities upon us which we should keep in mind. A true Ahmadi is the one who strives to follow the practice of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and strives to become a godly person. The Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says at one place, in continuation to this topic which I have mentioned earlier, that remember much that the person who becomes godly, God becomes his, and God does not become a target of someone's forgery. It is absurd and foolish for someone to desire to deceive God Almighty through hypocrisy and forgery. He is deceiving himself. The beauty of the world, the love for the world, is in fact the root cause of all the evil deeds. The beauty of the world and the love for the world is the root cause for all of the evil deeds. one becomes blind in it so much that he loses sight of humanity and does not realize what he is doing and what he should have been doing. In this condition, a wise person cannot be deceived. Then how can Allah the Almighty be deceived? Nevertheless, the root cause for such wicked deeds is love for the world, and the greatest sin which is ruining Muslims at this time, and the sin in which they are actively committing, is this very love for the world. During their sleep or when they are up, while sitting or standing or walking around, they are stuck with this grief and anxiety, and they are not aware of the time when they will be placed in the grave. If such people feared Allah the Almighty and had some consideration and worry for their faith, they would have benefited immensely. The Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states that Sadi says, who is a Persian poet, that only if the Vizier would have feared God. Thus, how active are servants for a meager task. However, when it is time for prayers, they do not do it because of the cold water. Why do such things happen? Because the greatness of Allah the Almighty is not present in the hearts. If they have any sense of God's greatness and they remember death and believe in it, then all the sluggishness and negligence would disappear. For this reason, God's greatness should be kept in the heart and one should always fear Him. His grasp is dangerous. He overlooks and pardons. However, when He seizes someone, He seizes them very strongly. To the extent that He, Allah the Almighty, does not care about the condition of those whom He left behind. On the contrary, those people who fear God Almighty and acknowledge His greatness in their hearts, God the Almighty gives them respect, and He Himself becomes their shield. It is mentioned in the Ahadith, "Man kana lillahi kana Allahu lahu," that is, the one who becomes godly, God the Almighty becomes his. But the sad thing is that the people who pay attention to this and desire to come to God the Almighty, the majority of them want this to happen very spontaneously. They do not know that how much patience and courage is required in religious matters. And it is astonishing that they wait for many years for worldly affairs to be settled, the worldly affairs for which they strive day and night. A farmer waits so long after sowing the seeds, but when they come towards religious matters, they say that someone should make them a saint instantly. And on the very first day, they want to reach the highest stage. However, neither did they work hard, and nor did they go through any trials. The Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says, "Remember much that this is not the law and custom of Allah the Almighty. Every step of progress is gradual here, and God the Almighty cannot be pleased if we merely say that we are Muslims or that we are believers. Therefore, Allah the Almighty says, 'Ahasiban nas an yutraku an yaqulu amanna wa hum la yuftanun.' That is, do these people think that Allah the Almighty will be pleased with them, and they will be left alone if they say, 'We believe,' and they will not be tested?" To make someone a saint of Allah instantly is against his practice. If this was Allah's practice, then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do the same thing, and he would transform his devoted companions into saints with a mere blow of his breath. He would not have made them go through trials and get slaughtered. And God the Almighty would not have said the following about them: that there are some of them who have fulfilled their vow, and some who still wait. The Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam says that if the world cannot be achieved without difficulties and hard work, then the person who thinks that religion is like a fruit naturally ripened on a tree is foolish. It is the truth that religion is easy, but every blessing requires hard work. Although Islam has not even set such strenuous work, look at the Hindus and see what their devotees and ascetics have to do. Sometimes their backs are ruined, some let their nails grow. Similarly, there were monks amongst Christians. However, Islam did not include such things in its teaching. Rather, its teachings are, "Qad aflaha man zakkaha," That is, the one who purifies himself, he truly prospers. That is, the one who separated himself from every kind of innovation, falsehood and immorality and lustful emotions for the sake of Allah the Almighty. He rejects all the lustful desires and prefers the hardships in the way of Allah the Almighty. A person who prefers Allah the Almighty and lets go of the world and its comforts is truly the one who receives salvation. May Allah the Almighty enable us to reform ourselves, and may He enable us to understand the importance of the stature of truthfulness, and may we be the ones who give precedence to our faith over worldly affairs. After coming under the oath of allegiance of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, may we be able to truly understand the purpose of the advent of the promised Messiah, and may we be able to fulfill this purpose instead of just saying it. May we be able to strive hard towards following the beautiful example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and may we be the ones who give precedence to the pleasure of Allah the Almighty over everything and strive to achieve it. May Allah the Almighty enable us to do so. After offering prayers, I will lead a funeral prayer in absentia, which is of respected Qasim Tore Sahib, who is a missionary of the movement in Ivory Coast. He was a local there. He passed away on the 25th of January 2016. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He accepted Ahmadiyyat in 1986. Before accepting Ahmadiyyat, he used to administer a personal madrasa, and after accepting Ahmadiyyat, he presented that madrasa to the Jamaat, which was converted into a primary school later. In 1990, he completed his missionary course, which is a Murabbi course or a Muallim course from Jamia Ahmadiyya, Ivory Coast. After this, for a long time, he did tabligh tours throughout Ivory Coast. He planted the seed of Ahmadiyyat in countless cities and villages. He had the opportunity to serve as regional missionary for 10 years in Bassam region. He spent approximately 1 year to learn the Urdu language, and he continued to translate the Friday sermons in Jula language until his demise. The deceased was a Musi, and Basit Sahib, who is a local missionary there, he writes, "This humble one was introduced to respected Qasim Tore Sahib in 1996. For the past 30 years, he was able to serve the Jamaat from 1986 until now. Loyalty to the Jamaat, love of Khilafat, love for the writings of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, and untiring labor were his prominent attributes. He learned to read and write out of his personal desire in order to benefit directly from the writings of the promised Messiah. For this purpose, he visited Qadian twice so he could learn Urdu. After returning from Qadian, he would study the books very eagerly. In this regard, Murabbi Sahib says that he was often in touch with me via telephone, and he would ask me about various metaphors and difficult words. He would read the poetic work of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam with immense eagerness and love, and he would try to understand its translation as well. Allah the Almighty had bestowed him with a beautiful voice, and once during a journey he requested this humble one to teach him some poetic works of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam in Persian. He says that I taught him 5 couplets of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam's Persian poetry with melody. And so when we reached the village where we were visiting for a tour, he presented these couplets melodiously in a jalsa there, and he translated them in Jula language. He composed countless poems in Arabic, Jula and French languages about Islam, Ahmadiyyat, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the advent of the Imam Mahdi. And he presented them melodiously. He used to recite these poems, and they were very popular amongst the people. In 2003, after the demise of Khalifatul Masih IV, the opponents of the Jamaat in the north region, which was under the control of rebels and it was practically cut off from the rest of the country, began a propaganda against the Jamaat that their Khalifa has passed away, and after that the Jamaat was finished. The Ahmadis of this region became restless due to this reason. And when this news reached the headquarters, respected Qasim Tore Sahib was sent to remove and finish this false propaganda. The journey to the north region was very difficult in those days, but Qasim Tore Sahib travelled via bus, tractor trolley, motorcycle, chariot and on foot through the jungles and reached those Jamaats. And he propagated the message of Ahmadiyyat in that area and informed everyone that the system of Khilafat is still established by the grace of Allah the Almighty. And due to this, the spirit of the Ahmadis were raised. Therefore, as a result of this tour, a new spirit of life was generated in several Jamaats. And in this manner, he got the opportunity to end the false propaganda. In order to do tabligh, he would often do a tour for a month. He was a very hard-working person. May Allah the Almighty elevate the ranks of the deceased, and may He enable his generations to keep a relationship of loyalty with the Jamaat.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.